Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Myself. What a wonderful world.
Nå skal vi ha en litt annerledes episode. Og det jo fordi vi har snakket om det, at vi, jeg vet ikke med deg, men i alle fall jeg føler at alt blir litt så meningsløst. Det jo masse ting, vi har masse kule podder egentlig line up, og mange ting vi hadde lyst til å ta for oss, men det føles litt som, jeg hører ikke på podcaster som ikke tar for seg det som foregår i Ukraina. Det liksom det som betyr noe. Liksom alt annet blir betydningsløst.
Ja, altså, både ja og nei da, men samtidig når man har muligheten til å bringe noe til bordet som i hvert fall vi interesserer oss for, enda mer enn kommunikasjonsproblemer i Norges Skiforbund, uttaksproblemer, Vasaloppsvinnere, Maiken Kaspersen falla, Jansrud legger opp, Johaug legger opp. Altså, det ganske lett å lage podd som kan være gøy. Men det ikke det jeg går og tenker på, ass.
Nei, så i dag skal vi ha noe spennende, for jeg veldig spent, jeg vet ikke helt hva som venter oss. Vi har sånn delvis blitt kjent med en fyr som bor i Ukraina, han lever i Ukraina, han en dokumentarfilmskaper eller fotograf, så han løper rundt og dokumenterer og legger ut på Instagram og offrer livet sitt hver bidige dag, da, for han bor i byen Kharkiv, og til de av dere som ikke vet hvor det er, så er det helt nord i Ukraina, nordøst på grensen til Russland. En av de byene som har blitt desidert hardest rammet. De blir bomba hver eneste dag. Han heter Pavel Dorogoj, og man kan gå inn på hans Instagram-profil, så ser man at han, kan man se hva som foregår der, og det er helt, det er bare, det er forferdelig, da. Det er ikke noe annet å si om det, så det vi har lyst til å gjøre, da, som vi mener vi kan bringe litt til bordet, at jeg tror alle kjenner saken, alle vet at Ukraina har blitt invadert av Russland, at det og Vladimir Putin og hans regime som har gått i angrep. Det er ikke russere flest som har gått i angrep, det en annen ting vi har lyst til å ta for oss i neste podcast-episode. Men alle kjenner saken, og hvis vi leser det første hjørnet jeg står opp, er å gå inn på NRK, VG og alle de tradisjonelle stedene, og man får med seg makroperspektivet. Det som er fort gjort å glemme, da, og ikke det at NRK og VG ikke prøver å dytte det fra mikrohistorien nå, men det er fort gjort å glemme at det er vanlige folk. Da. Og liksom det er, hvis vi hadde, i Norge hadde blitt invadert, hvordan føles det? Altså, hvor er vi? Hvor er butikkene åpne? Altså, sånne helt bagatellmessige på en måte, spørsmål i det hele, men som er, jeg synes er veldig interessant. Da. Hvordan påvirker dette livet til vanlige folk? Vi er opptatt av å lage gode dager, og hvordan tenker man, og hva skjer med livet hans når han blir utsatt for noe sånt? Det er vel litt det vi er nysgjerrige på, ikke det?
Jo. Jeg har i hvert fall en million spørsmål på det, og så er det sånn, det er veldig lett å tenke, eller kanskje vanlig å si også, jeg skjønner hvordan det må føles, liksom. Også, det er jo bare fjas, liksom. Vi vet jo ikke hvordan det føles, og det tror jeg ikke så veldig mange andre, med mindre man har opplevd det selv, vet da. Men det å få ta på det, altså, går de på skole? Er skolen åpne? Er det noen som går på jobb? Mat, vann, strøm, internett? Det var jo første jeg spurte deg, men hva internett? Finnes det internett? Mm. Hvem er det som... ok, og han bor i Kharkiv. Hva skjer når russerne får kontroll? Er det en slags stabilitet? Eller, jeg har altså så mange spørsmål, men... Altså, jeg er også redd for å tråkke på tæra, da. Det må være ærlig å si. Liksom, det er jo en sånn der balansegang der mellom å lage underholdning på det, og bringe nyheter ut, da. Og det, den har jeg liksom kjent på, at det, vi må sørge for at han, eller vi må stille spørsmål og bare være åpne, uten at han føler at vi prøver oss å lage noe underholdning på det.
Mm.
For ja, det er jo ikke greia, liksom. Men vi er jo bare opptatt av å på en måte lære. Og som pappa selv, da, så er jeg veldig nysgjerrig, fordi at dette er mange spørsmål som ungene mine stiller meg.
Mm.
Ungene mine, vi var i Hafjell i dag, liksom, og så spør, da kan de spørre for eksempel, ja, snakker vi om at de skal tilbake til skolen? Ja, ja, går barn i Ukraina på skolen? Og så sier de, det vet jeg ikke. Det vet jeg ikke. Og Ukraina er et svært land. Og det er jo områder som ikke er så berørt som for eksempel Kharkiv, da. Hvordan er det de områdene? Jeg vet ikke. Jeg er dødsspent.
Ja, nei, det er, og så er jeg litt nysgjerrig på de litt større linjene om sånn, hvordan tenker du rundt det at de ikke flykter? Altså, jeg må innrømme at hvis jeg hadde bodd i Kharkiv, da, så tror jeg det første jeg hadde tenkt på er at jeg må få ut, altså mine nærmeste og meg selv, da, må jeg få ut denne byen så raskt som mulig. Og det motet han viser, da, på å si at nei, men han, hva er det jeg kan bidra, bringe til bordet? Han kan ta bilder og dokumentere dette for verden. Da. Hvis han stikker, hvem skal dokumentere da? Han løper ut, han, selv om flyalarmen uler, og tar sjanser da, for å få dokumentert dette. Og det er en sånn form for modighet i det. Men samtidig er det liksom, ja, det er spennende. Også hvordan så de på Russland før dette? For jeg, det er jo, altså, er det, om det er en ting Putin er ganske rett i, så er det jo, det er jo et broderfolk. Altså, det er jo de samme menneskene som har man satt opp en vilkårlig linje og sa, nå er dette et land og dette et land. Det er liksom nordmenn og svensker. Da. Altså, vi er jo, altså, jeg må innrømme at det er bagatell, da, men når nordmenn ikke vinner i OL, så sitter jeg og heier på svenskene, for det er jo broderfolk vårt på et vis. Vi snakker basically det samme språket. Og så hvordan så de på russerne før dette, og hvordan ser de på russerne nå, også, og hvordan klarer de å skille mellom Putin og vanlige russere, altså disse tingene er veldig, veldig spennende. Ja, ok, men jeg tenker at vi, ja, vi bare får på Pavel, og så må vi, håper vi at vi klarer å være påskrudd. Pablo, it's amazing to have you on. Thank you for your time. First and foremost, I hope that you are safe now and you're in a safe place.
This is an interesting situation because I think now in Kharkiv there is no safe 100% place. Even here, like this is not a Kharkiv. This is suburbs of Kharkiv. It's like near 10 kilometers from Kharkiv, like a road to the Kyiv. So this is the west. So this is far from Russian military, but I hear the missiles here. But this is like our missiles coming to to Russian troops. But okay. I hear it very well. Maybe you will hear it too today. So
oh shit!
So yeah, it's very interesting.
Yeah, but yeah. Yeah, because let's start with that 24th of February, Russia invaded Ukraine. Can you take us through how, like, your day and how, what went down? How did it feel?
I was there. Here, I'm sorry, I was here, so I'm was not this, like, this is place where I live, like in winter I lived here. This is a very beautiful house built in 1917 by Kharkiv architecture. This is very interesting house, but we will not talk about them. So we feel pressure and some that something gonna happen. I think in 22 February, 21 February. So like this is was like very big pressure. A lot of news. A lot of like they are coming to our borders. They like they are. We saw like a lot of techniques going to the borders. But we all think and we all hope. So this was like maybe something will happen, then the pressure was like, phew, yeah, you know, like you breathe out. And I was sleeping, and at 5 o'clock in the morning, so it's very early, my mom called me. She was like crying and in a, like a hysterica, something like this. So she was very emotional, and I was like sleeping because 5 o'clock I like come to sleep. I go to bed very late because I was nervous too about this all this news. And I said like, no, this is not can be. So maybe it's like, I don't know, the fireworks or something like this, or maybe like the big fire. So please relax, like go to sleep. Everything will be okay. And I take my phone, and we had, we use Telegram a lot. So this is, you know, this, the, and I saw the news, like people start to write in this is a missile, this is a bomb, so the this place is firing, so they're hitting, they all is coming, and like, and I, it was like, oh, so like, I didn't understand, and I didn't believe. So I can't sleep. Like we start to, because all my friends wake up, so all Kharkiv I wake up in 5 o'clock because like there was a lot of missile attacks. So we start to find news like where it was, like how, and we talk with friends and on Telegram that, so like, what's happening now, like this is, can be the truth, or this is not, this is maybe the dream or the nightmare or something like this. And first like maybe 3 hours, like I walk like a zombie and didn't understand like what to do. I have a son. He's like nearly 5 years old, but we are divorced with his mother. But we call to each other and like what to understand, what's happening, what to do, like where they need to go, where they, or like if like does she needs to like sit in a car and like try to escape the country now, like before maybe more it will be like worst. And my mom is calling me and my friends, so it's like it was the, we don't understand what's happening. And a lot of news, like there was an attack on the military aerodrome, airport, where the military place was near the Kharkiv. And we see the, it was the first, I think, civilian building was attacked, and we see the destroyed civilian building. And like there was so much news, so much panic in Telegram, so much panic in with conversation of people, with relatives, with friends from all over, like the country. I have my friend architect. She is architecture from Odessa, like, and we, and she said that they bombing, they like they attack by missile us too, and we read a lot of news from Mariupol, from Kharkiv, from Kyiv. So that like maybe not in the start, but like 3-2 hours we, and Kyiv was attacked too, and Ivano-Frankivsk, like this is the west of Ukraine near Europe. So it was crazy, really, yeah, real crazy.
One question, or I have tons of questions, but first and foremost, as I'm also a father of two, and I try to explain to my kids what the parents do in Ukraine to protect their kids, but I don't know. I just speculate. What do you think? And what is your reaction? What is your emotions when the Russians attack and you try to protect your son?
I was far from him. This was very painful. Like I was here, he was like very quiet. I even don't hear the blows, don't hear the missiles, didn't see the fire or something like this. But I call with my ex-wife, and I heard that she was very scared and don't know what to do. The first day there was with my son, his name Lukian. They was in the shelter, so they like stay at night in the shelter. And I think Lukian didn't understand what's happening. So he is like 5 years old. She tries to explain him like what is this and what's happening, but I think for him it's like the play. So
And one other thing, because my kids they ask a lot, and they ask if the Russians are bad, and I say that the Russians are not bad, but the regime and the leader of Russia is really bad. But what does Ukrainian say? What do you tell your 5-year-old when he asks? Do you tell him that Russians are bad and evil? Or do you tell him that... How does the Ukrainian people speak and think about the Russians?
So now it's... this is a very difficult questions, like how Ukrainians talk about Russians. How I talk about Russian, I have a lot of friends in Russia, and I don't think they all are bad. I think, I even don't think like there is a good nation, a bad nation. Like we have bad Ukrainians too. So, and we have even Ukrainians who now, even now, when they are sitting 10 days under Russian missile and bombs, they say, I'm not sure. And I like, what? I walk through the center, like, and center now is a lot of destroyed, a lot of building destroyed, a lot of historical building destroyed, like 100 years. And I like walk through. I'm shooting, and because I'm a photographer, I try to capture like this crime for the Gaga judgment or something like this. And two men is walking near me, and they said, "I'm not sure that this missile come from east. I think it was from west." And I'm like, "What? What are you talking about? So you sit in 10 days, and you're not sure." So we have people who. Even now, they think that this is the USA, that this is the Europe, like push us to war with Russia, and the Putin is good, and he will save us, and he come to save, and he will like.
But is it insane. Hard? Is it hard for you as a parent to say to your son that not all Russians are bad, but right now we are under attack by Putin and his military forces, or is it?
I'm not talking with my son on the political team. He's like dinosaurs and robots and cars. So we try to play. So I try to joy. But I see in the subway yesterday. I was in the subway, and there is one of the women who now live in the shelter because like. Maybe she's scared. So she make the exposition of children drawings. The topic was world by children eyes. And they like drawing some paints. And in a lot of paints, a lot of these drawings was like Putin go away, Ukraine is the best. Like so, children understand what's happening. I think a lot of parents talk with them, and I see it like even in art, in children art. So yeah, this is like this is the true art because children I cannot like the. So they like true children true. So yeah,
they can't don't lie. Think.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
No, I think it's very good. But how has that changed? Maybe, of course, before 24th of February, but also maybe before 2014, before they annexed Crimea. How was the relationship and how was the Ukrainians' feelings towards Russia before 2014?
I think even not 2014, it starts, I think, from 2008 when the Yushchenko starts to be he wants to be president, but Yanukovych win the election, but they was not true, and the first Maidan is coming, and this is stuff. I think it starts from this year, and with every year, it was from both sides. It was the conflict, because we don't hear, we start to don't hear each other. You know, we have a lot of, and not we have a lot of, we had a meme. You see this movie "Don't Look Up" with the new on Netflix. So, and you remember he talked we know that this comet, is exist, we saw it, we even photographed it, and I don't know who this make, but I think it's genius. So he separate this monologue with a video of missile attack. So it's he talk about our war, and this is really true, because so much people in Russia didn't believe. We have it was a small collab, when you two artist is making someone together.
Collaboration.
So I did the photo from 1st of March when the regional administration was hit by a missile, and I see dead body carried out from this building. I saw four, but I know there is 10 dead people. And my friend from Kyiv, Dmitry Elisichenko, he is a videographer, he is a filmmaker. He add to this photo a screen of conversation with his relatives in Russia, who write him, no, Dima, the Russia can't shoot to the cities, and there is no war. And with this photo, with dead people, with this destroyed administration, there was a huge effect, and this post was very, very popular. So, and I and this is like this, because the people in Russia didn't see the news, the true news, with dead body of the soldiers, with the destruction that their missile do. So they think Putin is going to help.
Vanligvis når vi skal reklamere for Coop, så prater vi om kaffen, og jeg glad i kaffen, jeg glad i Coop, jeg glad i Coop kaffe, men akkurat nå faktisk så skal jeg reklamere for Coop og for hva de står for. Jeg la på Twitter i forrige uke, hvem første som legger press på at FIS tar et standpunkt i denne striden. Coop var første store aktør som sa til FIS at dette her må dere ta et aktivt standpunkt på. Og hvis ikke dere gjør det, så gjør vi det for dere. Og jeg må være så ærlig, når jeg så det, så tenkte jeg, fy flate, det derfor vi leker med Coop. Altså, jeg har aldri vært stoltere Coop-ambassadør enn den dagen de sa til FIS at nå må dere faen meg velge. Oss eller de. Og det blir gule og blå startnummer i Drammen på sprinten der sånn. Og det blir gule og blå startnummer i Holmenkollen. Det dagens reklame for Coop, altså det kommer rett fra hjertet. Takk skal du faen meg ha.
Yeah, you left us there, but we, as we said when you came back, we got scared, we feared the worst, and you told us something about the sound and stuff.
Yeah, for this day I learned that before something was hitting, you will hear the sound, because I think one... I was not under the grot attacked. We like this is the Russian rockets called Grad. It didn't translate. So this is very scared thing when they come to you. But now the most scary thing I see and heard this was a plane attack. So you hear the like very loud, so the very loud sound, and you don't understand where the bomb will.
No, yeah, because you hear the plane yeah. go zoom over, yeah. Yeah. and you don't yeah. know where they will yeah. drop the bomb. Yeah.
And this is really scared. I was on the street, and I'm just walking. There is a silent in city, like this is the ghost city. No. Human, no cars. The stores are broken. The glass are broken because there was a missile attack like this morning. And I just walk and I hear the sound. I didn't think this was like the fastest run I do in my life. I try to see some shelter to the building and like sitting like this to hold my hand with arms and but it's okay, but there was really scared, really scared.
I have a question. Before the Russians attacked, you were all living a normal life, and yeah. then suddenly from one day to another
everything changed.
Everything changed, and I'm so curious about the small things. Like, I'm curious about how do you get groceries? Do you have water in your tap? Is there any electricity? Does kids go to school? Is the kindergartens open? Does anyone go to work? I'm so curious about your everyday life and how everything has changed, and if there is some kind of stability in the changes, or if everything just one big pot of chaos.
Like,
so there is no one going to work. Everything is closed, or groceries.
About kindergarten, yeah, groceries. So the first was a message from our not like teachers, but how in the kindergarten this
the kindergarten teachers.
Yeah. So she like near to like I think 8 o'clock, she writes like, "Dear parents, I think you understand that today the kindergarten will be closed. Mm-hmm. Please stay safe." The life is stopped. All life is stopped. But the first day, I think people go to work. My father is a turner, not like a turner. He's like a little chief on Turner. So, but he works on a big factory. This is one of the biggest factory in our city and one of the oldest, like from 1920s. He came to work and like they said, no, we will not work, and he goes home, so like that. But and I think a lot of people in the first day think that maybe this was like the scaring so that Putin wants to scare us and he will stop. Mm-hmm. We even don't think that he will like continue this crazy. The life is stopped. The store, the supermarkets was closed because like from 5 in the morning they all understand that war is start. So school is not working. The life is stopped first day, and people don't understand like what they need to do, like what they need to evacuate now, or maybe like wait or go to shelter. My friends with his girlfriend go to the subway because like this there was like a lot of hearing bombs and artilleries and something, and first day he was in shelter in subway with a lot of people. I was in the subway and first day was I like in from I think 2 o'clock I the journalist from Al Arabia calling me and asking did I want to work fixer for them. And I agree because I'm sitting here and there was a silence, like now nothing is happening. But I like reading the news, I understand. I see the first tanks, Russian tanks near the city was destroyed. So I want to do something, to see my eyes, like what's happening, because I'm a photographer. Like,
But how do you get groceries or food? How does everyone in the, you say, even if they are in shelter, or if they are in the subway, is there any system for delivering food? Can you buy food, or is everything just you just go and steal, take, rob,
no.
get? Okay. How?
So the first day, like some of store and supermarkets was working, and my friend, I didn't like take the foods, but he like he buying like some food, but not enough because he like with no money, because like we are all freelance people and we don't have a salary, and like unfortunately in these days, and I and he was like with no money, like even it was like a small. Yeah, but he own from friends and buy some simple foods like groats, pasta, so something like this, like for a long time. We have water in our flat, we have heating, central heating, we have electricity. This is like thank you to the USSR for the central heating and all this stuff. And maybe from second or third day, the markets like open in 8 o'clock and work until the curfew is starting. So, but this is what dangerous because a lot of people wants to buy food, and bombing and attack missile is continue.
Yeah, because can the. Is there some rules? I know there are some rules in warfare, but is there some kind of routine or some kind of green spaces where there will be no Russian? So the missiles can come any time. You don't know.
Yeah. I wake up 1st March when the administration was missile attack. Like this was... like ordinary morning. Yeah, we hear all night the blow up, like, but we're far. It was far. I can like hear it. So, and we wake up in the morning. In the morning, I think it was like 8 o'clock maybe. And we want to drink coffee, to smoke cigarette. And my friend was coming, like he coming for the cigarettes to the store because it was morning and he wants like to be in the first one who can go in and buy something. And near the 9 o'clock, there was a huge like poof sound and shaking because it's we live in center and the administration like maybe 1 kilometer from us, so we feel it, we feel that attack, and we hear because it's like a loud sound, and we try to call him like where are you, like go fast, and he was like taking photos. He said that he is running so fast, like the first time in his life he was like white because there is a I think there was a missile near the store where he goes, and he said that when he understand that something is coming because sound like the missile is like pew, like laying on the ground, so I didn't understand. Our weather is now is like dirty, snow, dirty. So I don't care. I like laying on the ground and try to survive. And other people just staying because they, I don't know, maybe it's all our lives, it's okay. But there I was really scared, and he came to home really scared. Yeah, and you don't know, like, there is no air alert before the missile attack.
But
when
but,
the yeah
yeah so, sorry so but I'm curious back with the stores and stuff. I would guess that in Norway, if this happened, I would guess that people, because the world just gets turned upside down and law and order is all over the place. The police and the military, they can't stop people from stealing because they have to fight the war. So I would guess that people would be plundering, stealing, not only food, but like other stuff, yeah, like TVs and stuff. Has something like that happened, or are people respecting?
I don't know why, the center of the city, a lot of boutiques and like this little store with gadget, with like phones and clothes and blah, blah, blah. And after this missile attacks, there is no windows on it in store. So they are all open. The doors are broken, the windows are broken. You can like just came up, take and go. But nothing take it, nothing get it, because one thing, it's because they will shoot in on the place if the military or police will see somebody want steal, okay, they will like shoot to the death without conversation, without anything. So this is the war. But I think this is my opinion. Maybe I'm like, I think people don't need this. Can I said shit? No.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Okay.
This is music to my ears, and I think it's really important point, because once you're really pressured, you understand what's important and what's not.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when this you have everything,
yeah,
you are trying to get the material stuff. You're trying to get the prestige. You're trying to get money and everything. You are really pressured, you take care of your family and your friends, and you're right now you are taking care of your country and your fellow neighbor.
Everyone, this was the one of the first like thought that was a positive for me, that I understand. I know this. I know this before. I don't like the consumerism. I don't like the buy the iPhones, the Porsche. We poor country. Ukraine is a poor country.
Poor country.
And we have a lot of Porsche, Mercedes, BMW, Tesla on our street. So and I think like what the hell from? So the difference between the rich and the poor is huge,
huge. Huge. Yeah.
And when the war start, you really understand what is value.
Yeah.
What is value? This is no this bag from, I don't know, like Prada, or this is like no, this is not car, this is not the clothes on you, this is about you, about your close people, like friends, lovers, wife, children. So this is about it, it's about support, about giving the support, because this was like the one of the positive thought in my head, and I still think.
Yeah, absolutely. Would you also say that the gap between the rich and the poor has shrunk through the wars? So that's
no. Rich are just going away from. Okay. And this is the second positive thing, guys. I think because a lot of them are stealing from the from me, because like the most of them are the governments, like not the governments, like the bureaucrats.
Officials? So they're corrupt.
Yeah, the politicians. Yeah, corrupt politicians. Yeah, thank you very much. And most of them are like, they was like wind blowing. No one stays here.
But it, because let's talk about that for a minute. Both with the civilians, because it's if people don't know, Kharkiv is the second largest city in Ukraine, and it's over more than 2 million people living there.
It's
very close to the Russian borders. It was one of the first cities that was under siege and attack, and also it's. But it seems to me that a lot of the people are staying behind. But because my immediate thought was what you were thinking with your son, that you wanted him to evacuate. But it seems to me, so are people staying because they want to fight for their country, or are people staying because they have no options?
It depends. I see people who stay in because they want to defend the country, and they like they have no like gray. So this is black, this is white. So I'm staying, and like 100%. Now I think Kharkiv and all Ukraine, and this is like not the bravura, yeah. I mean, we like fighting like one big family, because all who stay in here in Kharkiv try to help, like a volunteer, try to do something for military, for people like in hospitals, for older people, for children in hospitals, and something, and lots of stuff.
I'm curious. Me and Hans Olav, we have spoken many times around this subject, and we don't know the answer. I'm hoping that if anyone invades Norway, I'm willing to step up and fight, not only for me and my family, but also for my country and for human rights. But I'm not sure. When I see the people of Ukraine, like I see the people in Kiev, I see the people in your city, and I'm so both inspired but also really impressed about how you just stand together and say, the Russians, they can come, but we will fight.
Even without weapons.
Yeah, because I also think that you know that the Russians are, they outnumber you, and they have more missiles, they have better guns, they have everything on their side, but still you have that spirit. And I wonder, did you know that you have it? Or is it just there when you are pressured?
For me, I don't know that I have it, because I don't know, but I don't scare when I go to shoot after the missile attacks. So, and when I see the dead body, or when our military like taking me on the
gunpoint.
Yeah. So because like they are a little bit not scared, but attention. Yeah, like a little bit nervous. And there was two times with me where our military like, who are you? Stop it. And oh, okay, I'm a photographer. This is my passport. I'm like Polonitsa, Polonitsa, Toyenisinitsa. This is like the Ukrainian words. Russian can talk because they don't understand and don't can pronounce. So I didn't know about myself that I can do like this. And I think and I see, because I was in this Freedom Square 1st of March, and I shoot, when I shoot the destroy of this building, I saw the girl with a shower, I think, like to clean, to dig the ground, like this.
In the shovel?
The tool. Yeah, shower. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Shower.
Yeah.
So, and I when I saw her, like she was like the from another universe. She was like she was beautiful, and when I like make the post on Instagram, it's like in funny. I said that give me please her contacts, because like she was great. And when My friend sent me her page in Instagram. Like she was like glamour girl. Yeah, it's like glamorous girl. And now she is on her car, bringing the food, the all stuff for military and people. And she's young. Like I think she's like 22 until 25, so she's very young. Like she can sit on her car and go away to the Europe. I think she had money for this, but she's staying and she helping. And I see on her stories how much she do, and like, and she don't scare go to the close to the combat because like she helps our militaries like with some stuffs they needed. I will not talk about this, but so she's not afraid to, and I know that even our military sometimes a little bit nervous because like you need to like build the ice like icebreaking with them before like you can go there and you need to know like where they staying. So and I see people a lot of like this I call them people from steel with big hearts because they really are like from steel because they're sleeping like 1 or 2 hours and you see maybe you see this video like where the rocket hitting the administration building and near this building there was a yellow blue tent. It was destroyed too. No, you did.
No,
so this is
happened.
Okay. It's not. I will tell this little story. This tent was built in. Was stand in front of administration until since 2014 when the Donbass is war on Donbass and Crimea was starting. So and this tent was helping our military from 2014. After like maybe 2018 there was a like pause on because there is no hot conflict and from first day of this war they start to like collect food and all stuff for military for different old peoples and I shoot the working this tent 28th of February. So I want to film it. Like I even shoot video, and I meet the like the chief of this tent. She's named Yulia, and she is later we talk with each other, and she said that I don't want to be a chief, but I was just coming to and to do the camouflage net for techniques. And then I start, like, I see the people is bringing the food, bringing some stuffs, bringing some warm clothes. And I understand that I need to manage. And now whole Kharkiv knows her telephone number, knows her, like, in face. So this is, like, I think people... It, like, I told you, you told that this is, like, the... Please help me.
It seems
upside
like when
down,
you
upside down.
Yeah, when everyone gets turned their life upside down, and it seems like it eliminates every social rank. Everyone now is on the same mission, and that is to stop Putin, fight the Russians. And it seems like you as a people get unified, and it's from the outside. I have to say that I'm really. Really impressed, and I see also people going around and say like I'm Ukrainian, like we say like I'm from Paris when the Paris was under attack, and I really do admire your fighting spirit. How does the Ukrainian look for the future? How like do you think that the war will be a long-term war? You're hoping for a solution within days, or is it possible to have any time perspective on this situation, or are you just trying to survive and just trying to fight?
This is, I think, the second or third, or maybe, like, I talk about myself. So for me... I found the positive thing in all this shit situation, really shit situation, that that I am understanding now how it live in the moment. So a lot of like psychological talks about like you need to be in the moment, like you need to. So and now I can understand how it be on like when you don't have tomorrow. We don't have tomorrow. Like I'm joking, but it can be like missile attack, and our podcast will finish spontaneously. So and every night, so we don't have tomorrow. I think maybe not all of people think like this, but I have friends who agree with me, and this is. From one side is great because you feel all these moments, like you feel the greatest, like of warm food or hot water, hot shower, like when you can like just sit in the shower and taking baths, and you can like sleep all night without like shaking from sound of bombing, or you can hug your children, because I didn't see my child like 10 days even more. It was a miracle that I see him before they was evacuated, because like we don't like we talk with each other. I'm meaning the ex-wife, but we're not living together. And she called me and said we will go for like 15 minutes. Where are you? And I was near, and this was a miracle. And I came to this place, like kiss my son, and he goes, and I don't know if I will see him. So this is like, and this is about future, like how you can do some plans. But I saw a lot of text from people in Ukraine and who like from military. Even I saw the post. We feel like we have a lot of now. We have a lot of angry. We have a lot of emotions. We had a lot of energy, and we want to like hold it until we will win. And we believe we will win. 100%, we will win. And after the victory, we need to rebuild our destroyed city. And we afraid to lose this feeling, like what we had now about this live in the moment and like be like one big family, be the unit, like be the like one person, one world, one country. So, and I see this from different people, but I think it's like two. I agree with them. So I'm a little bit scared that we lose this great emotions and courages and some and all this stuff.
I just want to acknowledge you for your answer. I hope that every single one of our listeners just hear your answer again, because I think that's we had a lot of good answers in this podcast, but I think that's the most important one we've ever had, and I think there will be no better answer than that in this podcast ever, because I think that's really about what's matter and really matters. And hopefully you'll get all your wishes. I hope that your dreams and wishes come true, really.
And I want to add, because we feel support from our world. There is a lot of people sending me words of support, of being safe, so take care, are you okay, like how are you. So people from all the world sending me, and they ask me like, do you want, like can I help you, like what can I do for you, like I'm in USA and I'm in Germany. So and we feel it, really, we feel it. Maybe the government can do more, but the people from all of the world, we feel your support. So thank you very much for your...
Yeah. Pablo, Thank you so much for your time. I just have this last question because I sense that you don't have too much faith in the politicians in Ukraine. What do you think about Zelensky and his administration? From the outside, he's winning our hearts, but is
yeah. For us too, because before the war, most Ukrainian people think that he is even worse, like all presidents before together. But now I think he's like a man with balls of steel.
Mm. Yeah.
And yeah, he encouraged us, like... I understand that he is an actor, and I think president actor during the war, this is like the best thing can happen. But he is great, really. He's do great thing. He make pressure on the governments of Europe, and I think maybe like it's from. He tried to pressure on USA, but I think USA is taking his interest in and doing his business and all the stuff. But they help us too, and Zelensky is, I think, now I read news the support of Ukrainian citizens is like 90%. He's like Putin in Russia, but the real support, yeah. Not the fake support.
I heard the same numbers in Norwegian radio yesterday when I was driving back from work, and I think we spoken a lot about what is a true leader, and I think that the true leader is not a position, but it's. The ability to have influence, and a leader is a person you want to follow, no matter his rank or his status. It's just a person you want to follow, and I think that your president right now is a president with great influence, and people wants to follow him. And you see it every day on the news, and you see it every day.
Yeah,
you probably feel it, but also see it outside your door every day. So it's
I don't like the administration briefing, but briefing of President Zelensky, I see every day. I like watch every day because like we feel inspiration from, because we are tired. Like I am tired. Like I was in city 10 days, and now I like want to breathe out a little bit, because war is not funny.
You are sacrificing your life to document this, and that's so important. So people should go and see your stuff on Instagram. It's Pavel Dorogoy. So, but in Norwegian, for the Norwegians and the Swedes, it's Pavel Dorogoy med Y. So, stay safe, be safe, and I hope you get out of this mess very soon.
I will try, guys. Thank you. It was a really interesting experience. Thank you, guys. And thank you for supporting Ukraine and help us to fight this evil. What a wonderful
oppsummering. Jeg vet ikke om det noe å oppsummere. Det er veldig sterkt, da. Jeg merket meg flere ganger, som jeg synes var litt ubehagelig på et vis, at han lo og brukte så mye humor i denne forferdelige situasjonen, men så skjønte jeg vel at det er noe han gjør litt for å, at han det er så forferdelig det man står oppe i, da, at man blir nesten oppgitt. Det er nesten man ikke tror det er sant, og så liksom ler man av. Merket du det?
Ja, ja. Det jeg merker meg også er jo det der. For det første så synes jeg helt rått det han sier rundt prestisjejaget. Mm. Hvor lite det betyr når alt kommer til alt, liksom. Og det er jo litt sånn, ja, vi går rundt oss og maser om gode dager, da. Og uten at vi skal si at vi har noe bedre enn noen andre, men fy faen, han sier hvor viktig det er, han sier hvor riktig det er. Og så det andre jeg hører meg, eller merker meg, er liksom at jeg tror vi som mennesker undervurderer hvor gode vi er, eller hvor stor kapasitet vi har når vi ikke trenger det. Og så har vi også på en måte undervurdert av Putin, for eksempel. Jeg tror undervurdere hvor rå folk er når de virkelig blir presset til. Altså når jeg prater med sånn som det her, så hører jeg sånn, fy faen, Putin, du kommer til å få et helvete. Altså du kommer til å få et helvete, og det kan godt hende at du kommer til å ta kontrollen over Ukraina. Men du kommer aldri til å anvende flytelse. Du kommer bare til, du kommer til å tape. Du kommer faen meg til å tape.
Ja, nei, det helt riktig, og det det et tankekors da, at, og det at han klarer å se det positive, altså hvilke positive ting er det som har skjedd med Ukraina i dette, og med det ukrainske folket, og det er veldig sterkt. Det har skjedd veldig sterkt.
Shit, ass. Jeg håper at folk hører på svaret da, også ikke hører på svarene, men samtidig prøver oss å bruke det han sier i hverdagen. For vi er så opptatt med å skaffe oss en ny iPhone. Vi er så jævlig opptatt med å være opptatt. Altså dette her, med fare for oss å bruke dette som en sånt billig poeng for å selge en bok, og det ikke det, men fy faen, altså, den der iPhone vi har lyst på, den teller ikke en dritt. Den teller ikke. Så jeg teller tid til å klemme ungene dine, for han sa det jo. Det var bare flaks at jeg var i nærheten når ungene mine og ekskona måtte evakuere. Og jeg vet ikke om jeg treffer det igjen, men fy flate og glad jeg for at jeg fikk tatt den klemmen.
Ja,
nei, shit, han sa ingenting om at han akkurat hadde fått kjøpt seg en ny PC, liksom. Nevnte ikke.
Ja, han nevnte vel at han hadde vært litt fortvilet før krigen brøt ut, men etter det så var det på en måte da, det var liksom bare, det betyr ingenting. Nei, det var veldig sterkt. Jeg tror det har vært veldig spennende å høre fra han igjen. Jeg håper jo krigen gir seg, men jeg tenker vi skal holde kontakt med Pavel. Fin fyr. Så ses vi i en ny podd hvor vi fortsetter å prøve å belyse en situasjon på vår måte.
Gode dager.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.